Mystery. Intrigue. Betrayal. In a land where even estate agents don't trust each other, a warrior's mission is to win the hearts and minds of the people. The greatest battle is yet to come.
Hello and welcome to another Property Battlefield podcast. Today I will be discussing tax and lease extensions with Mark Chick and Philip Vickery. Mark, as you probably know, has been on the show previously in episodes 19, How Do Leaseholds Work, and episodes 33, How Do Freeholds Work. Mark Chick, just in case you've never listened to those podcasts, Mark Chick leads Bishop and Saul's landlord and tenant team and is recognised as a leading UK authority in this sector. He is a leasehold reform specialist and has been a partner at Bishop and Saul since 2006. He is also a director and a founder committee member of the Association of Leasehold Enfranchisement Practitioners, also known as ALEP, the sector to which all reputable valuers and solicitors working in the field of leasehold reform now belong. He regularly writes and speaks about enfranchisement and leasehold matters and is the author of two leading websites, leaseholdinfo.com and Leasehold Reform News. Bolstering today's podcast and basically adding his expertise is Philip Vickery, a senior associate also at Bishop and Saul, who has almost 25 years of experience of advising on tax and trust matters, encompassing high net worth and ultra high net worth private client matters, together with corporate, shipping, agriculture and property related tax issues. He has considerable expertise in advising on tax treatment of trusts, both onshore and offshore, the tax implications of inward investment into the UK for non-resident companies and individuals, the application of double tax treaties, the UK taxation of non-resident and non-domiciled individuals, drafting of trusts, drafting and negotiation of M&A-related tax indemnities, and a wide variety of other legal documentation. Philip is accustomed to liaising with private banks, trustee companies, and other professional advisors in multiple jurisdictions worldwide to assist clients in achieving their objectives. Mark and Philip, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having us on the show. Good to be back.
And as I said before we press record, thank you for making me look good. I really, really do appreciate you taking your time out of your day, Mark, to come and do this with me.
That's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, so basically, wanted to dive straight in. So, of course, we're talking about tax and lease extensions. So, you know, a lot of people think that when they have purchased their freehold, that is that, and there is no further action to take. But my question is, Mark, could they be wrong?
Well, I think, unfortunately, the answer is yes, they could be wrong because, as I think we all know, a lease is a wasting asset. It's something that ultimately, because the lease length will run down over time, decreases in value. And what's not often thought about, even if you've bought the freehold, a lot of people say to me, Mark, I bought my freehold, I can just rip the leases up, can't I? I don't need the leases anymore. Well, the answer to that, unfortunately, is no, you do still need the leases because the leases are the governing documents that set out the legal relationship between the freehold owner and the flat owners. And the freehold owner might well be a company that's been specifically incorporated by the tenants for that purpose, those that have participated in the freehold. And the lease governs the legal relationship. Now, the problem with the lease, because it's a wasting asset, as time goes on, the lease length gets shorter. So the solution to that is lease extension. It's to extend the lease to 999 years, maybe to cancel out the ground rent, and to have your share in the freehold company. But a lot of people think, well, you know, my lease is long already. It's maybe 70, 80 years, or 80 years plus. I don't need to take action to extend my lease right now, or that's going to cost me some more money. I don't want to do that right now. Well, the problem is, if they don't take that action immediately, they could be storing up a problem. And the problem is a tax-related problem. Because as the lease goes down in time, as it decreases in value, the freehold goes up in value. So the problem starts when people leave it a little bit of time between buying the freehold and then going on to extend the leases up to, say, 999 years. And the problem that arises, and Philip will correct me if I'm wrong about this, is a problem to do with capital gains tax. Because you may have paid a certain sum of money for your lease extension. Let's just say you paid maybe £10 for your share of freehold. Well, if when you come to do your lease extension, because you've left it a long time, your lease has ticked down in time. Let's say it's gone through one of the watch points in lease length, like 80 years, and therefore your lease is now in a situation where marriage value now applies to the valuation, you might say, perhaps quite rightly, I already own a share in the freehold. I don't need to pay myself to extend the lease. Well, on one level, that's true, because that was true when you bought into the freehold. But now, when you get your longer lease back, if a valuation is done, the thing that you get back is worth much more than that which you originally purchased. So the company is conferring a benefit on you, and that has got tax consequences. So let's just say, hypothetically, your original cost of participation was £10, but the value of the extended lease when you get it back is, say, £20. Well, then there's a problem, because the company has given you something which was worth more than that which you originally paid for. So that's the nub of the problem.
Ouch.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. And just to emphasise the point, as Mark said, it's easy enough to forget that essentially here we've got two legal entities. We've got the leaseholder, and we've also got the company which owns the freehold. And it's important to remember that for tax purposes, those two entities will be treated as separate persons. And the other point I think to make is that, in fact, that we've got a tax issue on both sides of the equation, because you've got both a potential tax charge in the freehold owning company, because when it makes a decision to grant a new lease, it will be treated as if it's making a part disposal out of its existing asset, which is the freehold. And then you've also got a potential capital gains tax issue for the leaseholder, because they will be effectively treated as surrendering their existing lease and obtaining a new lease. So they'll have disposed of one asset and acquired another one. And if there's a difference in value there, then that could give rise to a potential tax charge. And of course, there are various other factors that will come into play as well, one of which will be the use to which the leasehold property is put, whether there's any relief from capital gains tax available, and those sorts of issues. And another point which can affect the position is to think about whether, you know, the capacity in which the freehold company is acting, whether it's actually acting as nominee for the leaseholders, which it can do in some cases. And that can also affect the tax analysis. But there are a number of factors at play here, and the situation's far from straightforward. But as Mark has said, if it's possible to do everything up front and extend the leases as soon as possible, then in practice that's likely to be the most effective route.
Yeah, do you know what? I've got a question on that. I mean, if let's say, for example, somebody's buying in a share in the freehold, and they have listened to this podcast and they contact you guys and they actually say, right, okay, fine, how do we go about, for example, minimising the tax liability? But what happens? They can't individually just take their individual lease to 999 years, can they? They have to have the other freeholders / leaseholders do the same, right? Or wrong?
No. Okay, so there's two important points there. So the first one is that an individual can carry out a lease extension, obviously, off their own back, and they would need, if there's a freehold company in place, the freehold company could choose to extend just one of the leases at that particular point in time. Of course, it would be more logical if they all did them at the same time. But sometimes that does happen, that people don't come forward and get a lease extension, right at that point in time. But you're right to say they can't extend their own lease. That's an important point, is that they're not the company. And a lot of people fail to make that distinction in their minds. They say, oh, I'm selling my flat now. I need to put my lease up to 999 years. I'll just do that then, will I? Well, maybe not, because the directors of that company have to sign the lease extension document. And that is where this problem sometimes comes to the fore, because what will happen is, if the company is properly advised, and if a long time has gone on between the purchase of the freehold and the extension of the leases to, say, 999 years, then if the company receives advice that says it's got a tax liability, the directors of that company have got a duty to act in the best interest of the company, but also not to incur a liability that they can't pay for. So they would probably have to say to the flat owner, yes, we can do this for you, but you're going to need to indemnify us for the cost of the tax that we're going to have to pay out in order to do this. And that's where these sort of problems start. And as Philip has said quite rightly, I mean, I've only touched on really the point from taking it from the point of view of the freehold company. From the individual's point of view, there could be tax consequences as well.
Yeah. And it's like it's so interesting where I currently operate at the moment. There are so many properties that, of course, are share of freehold, and you're so right in asking the question. You know, is that it? Well, I'm a shareholder that owns a company that owns the freehold. Well, that's it. I'm okay. And now I'm actually really quite worried for all of these people that own a share in the freehold, because I don't think they've had this advice.
I think it's not been that commonly understood. I think that is a problem. And I think the other thing is, I mean, I don't want to scare people unnecessarily, because I guess it's a question of fact and degree. But where the capital values are more significant, that's where these problems are more likely to arise. Because I don't think none of us are, you know, neither of us are accountants, so we can't say that the amount of money involved would be de minimis. But if there is a very small jumping in value, well, then I think it may be possible to argue there's an equivalence there, or it's something the company can probably take a view on, perhaps. But strictly speaking, the directors have got a duty to consider the company's tax position in relation to any action that they take. And therefore, if there's been a delay between buying the freehold and extending the leases, then this point must be considered. And if there's been a more significant delay, so a number of years, and we've all seen what's happened to property values in and around central London over the last few years, this sudden increase in capital values does mean that there is very much a real paper gain in value that will be transferred back to the leaseholder when they extend their lease in this sort of situation.
Yeah, and I've come across lease lengths. Even though the owner owns a share in the freehold, the actual lease length is only 66 years.
Well, that's a problem, because of course, and that's a problem from a lending point of view. I mean, if you're an estate agent selling the property, the person buying is going to need to get a mortgage. And the first thing the bank is going to say is, they're going to say, what are you getting security over? Well, we're getting security over the lease. So we're getting a 66-year lease. This person may have a share in the freehold company. We're not too worried about that, really, because we're not taking security over that. So they will say, well, you need to go that further step. You need to make that lease longer so that we can then mortgage the property. So that always becomes the seller's problem. So I think if you're thinking of selling your property, it's obviously very good advice to get your lease out. And if you've got a leasehold with a share of freehold, find out whether you've extended the lease to 999 years, because that's something that should be looked at.
Yeah, exactly. So Philip, is that then basically, or Mark, answer this question, is that then a solution, some sort of solution is to minimise any tax implication, is to extend that lease to 999 years as quick as you physically can?
Yes, that's right, exactly. And I think, as Mark mentioned previously, really in practice, that the ideal thing to do would be to extend the leases pretty much, you know, simultaneously with acquiring the freehold, because you want to avoid, so far as possible, any suggestion that, you know, number one, that the value of the lessee's existing lease has declined even further, particularly if it goes below one of these significant thresholds, such as the 80-year point that Mark has mentioned. And you also want to avoid any difference in value between that existing lease and the new 999-year lease. And as we said, it's almost a threefold problem here, because you've got the problem for the company, you've got the problem for the individual leaseholders, and of course the individual leaseholders may also be acting as directors of the company. So they've got a liability there as directors, potentially. And as Mark has said, you can get into this situation where the company may have to call on the leaseholders to indemnify the company for any tax liabilities. And if the company is advised by its accountants that it's got a corporation tax liability because it's given away an asset which is greater in value than the cost of the freehold that was originally acquired, then, you know, the company is going to need funds to pay that tax. So there may be a real actual added cost for the leaseholders. They're actually going to have to pay money over to the company to enable it to pay its corporation tax. There's another thing just to mention on a very technical front here. There's a revenue sort of concessionary treatment that they apply in all of these cases, where they say, this is looking at the position of the individual leaseholders, where they say basically the position's okay so long as you can show that the leaseholders have paid market value for the new lease. And that just reinforces the point that you need to avoid any gap developing in the value of the existing lease and the value of the new lease. And that's really the whole basis of the reason for saying, you know, you really need to do all of this pretty much immediately, and, you know, as near impossible to time as when the company acquires the freehold.
Yeah, my good God. And that's probably the reason why it's sort of marriage value and actually getting a proper surveyor in is taken seriously. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I think, like all these things, valuation is key. If you're a company and you're thinking about doing this because someone's come to you and said, I'd like to extend my lease, then you should consider whether this issue is going to arise. And ultimately, that's going to require perhaps a professional valuation to be carried out. I would just say a couple of other things as well, because if you're thinking of buying your freehold, you're involved in that process. I know we've touched on that in previous programs. There can be some ways which you can structure your transaction to avoid this problem in the first place. It won't help someone who's now in this position, but one thing you should do is look back into the time at which the freehold was purchased, because it may be that there's some documentation there that may help out. So, for instance, if the freehold interest was being held on trust, that may be useful. It may also be that, for instance, as we would normally suggest for anyone buying a freehold collectively, that their subscription in has been treated as a loan to the company. So the value that comes back to them if money is paid out or the lease is extended should be seen in part of a satisfaction of that loan of repayment, because that is more tax neutral. Because what we're trying to do is get to a situation where there's a degree of equivalence. So you pay for something, you give money to a company that buys a freehold, you get something back in exchange, and the thing you get back in exchange should be of similar value. Now, if that's not the case, that's when this problem arises. So that won't help people historically, but it's important to put the right structures in place if you're thinking about doing this now. And if you think you have this problem, it may well be worth having a good look back into the files to find out what happened in the past at the time at which you purchased the freehold.
Yeah, I'm very impressed and still pretty shocked at the same time, because, you know, you think these things are so simple, and I imagine a lot of people do think, well, that's it, that's fine, it's done, but it just so isn't, and they need the advice you guys give.
Oh, well, I think, as we said at the beginning, perhaps, you know, the point is, some people think, bought the freehold, that's that, but actually, you know, sometimes it's not quite as simple as it first seems, so it's worth another look.
Yeah.
So if people have got questions, by all means, tell them to get in contact with us. If they've got tax questions, I think you can email us at privateclient@bishopandsewell.co.uk. We'll be happy to have a look at that.
100%. Guys, it's been a short podcast, but honestly, I think this is the information is just fantastic. And thank you so much, Philip. Thank you so much, Mark, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thank you.